Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. We've probably all heard the expression, famous last words. You know, comments like that made by Harry Warner, one of the founders of Warner Brothers Pictures, who back in 1927 reportedly said, quote, "Who the hell wants to hear actors talk?" end quote. Luckily for him, Sam Warner and the other more creative Warner Brothers won the day, and Warner Brothers Pictures went on to produce The Jazz Singer, the first of the so-called talkies, featuring Al Jolson singing. That movie was a tremendous financial success, and it saved Warner Brothers from going under. Famous last words, indeed. Well, there have been a lot of famous last words in technology, too. And just for the entertainment value, and to remind ourselves that even the giants of technology are often no better than the rest of us at peeking into the future, let's review a few of those technological famous last words. We could say that the modern era of technological famous last words might have started with an unknown analyst at Western Union, writing in an internal company memo back in 1876, which, by the way, was also the year that Alexander Graham Bell was awarded a patent for his telephone. That Western Union memo said, quote, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us," end quote. Have you noticed millions of people carrying Western Union teletype machines in their pockets lately? Probably not. Famous last words. Even Tom Watson, founder of IBM, wasn't immune from seeing only what was right in front of him. Back in 1943, he reportedly remarked that, quote, "I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers," end quote. Good thing he didn't hold to that view 10 years later, or IBM might today be a footnote in business history instead of a behemoth. Or how about Ken Olson, founder and president of Digital Equipment Corporation, or DEC, whose line of PDP mini-computers changed the face of engineering and science in the 1970s and 80s. At the time DEC was founded, the term mini-computer hadn't even been coined yet. Computers, as everyone knew, were giant machines built by the likes of IBM, and investors weren't about to back a new company that was going to try to design a huge computer to go up against IBM. So Ken Olson and his partners coined the term PDP to stand for Portable Data Processor so that they could tell potential investors that they weren't building computers at all. They were just building data processors. DEC's mini computers, as they came to be known, were tremendously successful too. Yet even as these mini computers created and then filled a heretofore unknown market niche, Ken Olson couldn't see another one emerging right before his eyes. Back in 1977, he famously opined that, quote, "There's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home," end quote. Famous last words. In the mid-1980s, DEC was the second largest computer company in the world. A decade later, DEC was history. These days, so is Atari. Maybe it wouldn't have been if some managers in the 70s hadn't thrown a couple of long-haired guys out of their offices. As one of them reported many years later, quote, "So we went to Atari and we said, hey, we've got this amazing thing, even built with some of your parts, and what do you think about funding us? Or we'll give it to you. We just want to do it. Pay our salary, we'll come and work for you." And they said, no. So then we went to Hewlett-Packard and they said, "Hey, we don't need you. You haven't even got through college yet," end quote. The speaker of those words was a fellow named Steve Jobs. You know, Apple computers, the iPhone, etc. Hard to know where those Atari fellows are today, but they sure aren't at One Infinite Loop, the corporate address of Apple computers. Even those who have managed to succeed wonderfully have often had to eat their earlier words later on. Bill Gates of Microsoft fame, for example, when asked about adding more random access memory to his computers back in 1981, remarked that, quote, "640 kilobytes ought to be enough for anybody," end quote. Today, his Windows operating system needs many multiples of that amount of RAM to turn on. And it's not only computer technology that has its collection of famous last words. David Sarnoff worked at what had been the Marconi American Company, and, after being purchased by General Electric, came to be known as what we recognize today as RCA. Back then, Sarnoff was advocating for radio broadcasting, but not having a lot of luck in the company. In response to one of his many memos on the subject, he got this reply, quote, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?" End quote. Fortunately for us, Sarnoff prevailed, and radio has been part of our lives ever since, despite those famous last words. But the question is an important one. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? At Community Radio, we know the answer. We all chip in so that this miracle, both technological and social, can continue. So that we can all hear music and information that we can't hear anywhere else, among which we hope will be future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.